something for my godson Elijah and a little girl named Corinne. Some say the blacker the better, the sweeter the juice. I say the darker the flesh and the deeper the roots. I give a holler to my sister's own welfare. Tupac kids, if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. When you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. But please don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive but don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe.
Welcome back to a very special episode of By George.
AJ Week 1.6.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to do the math here, but AJ Week was clearly last week. This week it's Grayer Week, but we decided to interview AJ anyways.
Well,
so.
We haven't talked to him yet. It's good to get inside with the younger kids.
Who here in Mason Nation really knows anything about AJ?
Right.
Put your hand up. I mean, no one's here, but I'm assuming no one has their hand up. So,
right,
we kind of know a little bit about what we've read on like Scout and all the little websites.
We've watched videos. I watched him practice a couple times,
but
really,
just like Jared Kushner, I think a lot of people have seen him, but they haven't really heard him. So Brian actually just got back from Mason, and interviewed him, and he sounds kind of exactly what you would think he would sound like. Very low voice. He's huge, though, like you described him.
Yeah, I mean, I shook his hand, and his hand completely engulfed my hand. It was actually, not to go too off track, but I actually shook Dexter Manley's hand one time and almost broke my hand. It brought me back to that moment. I mean, the guy's hand really went around my
entire... So are we putting him on Kawhi Leonard status?
Because not quite, but we'll post a picture so you can see. I mean, the guy does dwarf me.
Right. And you're no, like, small guy either.
No, I'm jacked.
He makes you look like you're 5'2".
Right. We actually got to... I walked around Rack a little bit, saw where the new practice facility is going to go in. So interviewed him. Went pretty well. That's coming up here next. But let's talk a little bit about our expectations for him going into this season.
Yeah, and like I said, he's sort of the unknown of the team. He redshirted his first year, likely because... he was still a bit of a small framed guy. He could probably stand to gain a little bit of weight, and I thought that
he admitted it. He said it was to work on my skill set. And he said with the redshirt year, in the interview coming up, he said that he learned a lot, and he practiced before games, after games, he worked out, he really honed in on his skill sets. That should get Mason Nation excited.
And I think if there was like a word you could use to describe him coming out of high school was raw.
Right.
Like the kid had the athleticism, and it was just someone needed to put it together. And hopefully Paulson, who's really known for putting, guys back on track, look at Jenkins, look at Moore, Shevin, he really knows how to put all the pieces together. So I think AJ's like a guy that, if you combine everything together, you might get a very special player.
The coaching staff, at times calls him like the most athletic player in the A-10. They're really high on the kid. And when I watched him practice, it wasn't hard to see why. The guy can jump out of the gym. He's got spring for days. And, I don't know if you saw, he posted on Twitter, actually, I think Kenner posted it. We've since retweeted it. The guy gets a dunk, catches it with one hand, and just crushes the rim.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see some electrifying dunks from him.
Which we haven't seen, we can say Shevin dunked, but let's just say honest to God dunks like from Mike Moe style. I mean, when he brought he brought Eagle Bank, formerly Patriot Center, everyone standing up,
throwing confetti,
electrifying.
Right,
yeah. And I think we're going to get that back.
Right.
We're going to get some electrifying AJ dunks. So
we're going to do a little we haven't really predicted the starting lineup yet. I think I've made it pretty well known that I think he's a starter. I think he's a day one starter.
As a
four man,
okay.
People on the boards, they talk about him playing the five. He actually surprised me with his size today. I thought he was going to be a little bit skinnier. The kid is big. Maybe he can play that role.
I don't think and this is the perfect example of a guy not having a ton of height. Like he's six-ish.
Right.
But his wingspan and just overall, he's just a big guy. He's long.
I think he's your prototypical power forward. He's
really,
especially
for the A-10.
He's really confident in his shot. He said he's working on his three. He shot pretty well in Kenner. He said, you know, when I asked him what he does well, and I'm sorry to talk about what he's going to talk about here soon in the interview, but he said he was a pick and pop player. I mean,
pick and pop.
If you can set a screen and have two options, either to roll or to pop, that really gives your offense a chance to be multidimensional.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure, depending on, you know, how he develops his, you know, long range game, you know, he's shown that he can hit a three. I don't know how defenses are going to play him. If he's holding the ball up at the top, you know, at the 3-point, you know, he could most likely just pull up and shoot. And
especially if we have a guy on the block that is a threat down low, and so we have to maybe sag off his defender, or they have to sag off the defender to double team the big man, and right. You leave him open. If he can hit the shot, man, you know, he's young. I'm excited. I like, you know, at a school like George Mason, I love having a redshirt freshman who's going to be able to grow into his role. So I think we're pretty optimistic.
You team him up with someone like Helvao, and you know, you then have like a pretty
right.
You know, that's
Cali.
That's oh man. And then let's not even get into
that. And then Reuter in a couple years.
Reuter, yeah. No, I mean,
I think it's Reuter. I got confirmation today.
Oh. Did they call him Rooster?
I didn't hear a cockadoodle, but I did hear, I think his name is Reuter. And okay. But just combine him with one of these, you know, these skilled big men. I think he's going to have room to kind of roam around that elbow area and also catch people sleeping back door and catch some alley-oops.
Just dunks. Yeah. So I think that's one thing to highlight. And then one last thing to highlight about AJ is just his presence in Kenner this year. It's only been 1 week thus far, but he put up, what, 20 and 26 in back-to-back games.
Both very efficient.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's hitting threes. He's hitting free throws. He's not missing much.
I mean, Kenner didn't post that many video highlights.
Right.
They did post one, and it was him catching an alley-oop.
Right.
And then they have a picture of him, like, two-hand Shaq slamming it.
Right.
I mean,
needless to say, we're going to be at the next Kenner giving you a
right.
Just a straight up report.
We're not going to. I mean, it's sad because, you know, I was talking to Chris the other day and I was telling him, you know, we've gone to so many Kenner games or we wanted to see our guy perform, whether that was Okoloji or what was that guy we got from Georgia Tech?
What's his face? Jesus Christ. This is embarrassing.
Russell?
No. God damn it. And I see his face, and it's... What is his name?
It doesn't matter. Either way, we were really excited for him. He showed us nothing in
Royal.
Royal, right.
Yeah.
And he showed us nothing in Kenner, and you almost, like, know at that moment. Like, yeah, if they ball out of control, maybe they'll come back to Earth when the season starts. It's more organized. But if they bomb at Kenner...
Yeah.
Pretty good indication.
And we get it. It's glorified street ball, you know, BA, you know, Brian Allen, he balled in it a few years. And Brian Allen's a good player. So, I mean, it's not necessarily a good indicator of how they're going to perform this season. But if you don't do well, it's not great, you know, right. For the season.
And we'll take 46 points in 2 days.
Right.
I mean, back-to-back games.
I remember watching Okoloji, and all he did was just charge. He couldn't jump. He was just charging into people. I was like, okay, can he leave his feet at all? I don't know.
So you're going to see us at Kenner specifically to watch AJ Wilson. So me, I'm projecting day one starter. Tell me if I'm wrong. Feel free to comment.
I'm not there yet. Maybe I got to see him in person. I haven't really decided my, you know, prediction of the starting five, but
which is going to come up next in a future podcast. Sure, we're going to talk about our starting lineups.
Let's get into the interview and let's hear what he has to say.
And just so you know, I mean, this is our first interview with the kid. Kind of low spoken. You know, he's a freshman. Probably hasn't been interviewed that many times. So if you can't hear his answers, turn your volume up to max.
Right. Turn it all the way up to max.
Okay, so I am here with AJ Wilson. This is Brian of By George. First time we've spoken with AJ in person. So tell us a little bit about where you're from and you know how you chose Mason.
Well, I was born and raised in Laurel, Maryland, in PG County. Always known about George Mason ever since I was a kid. Hearing about the Final Four run, I was probably like 7 or 8 years old. So I've always been a fan of George Mason. So it's pretty much been like a dream of mine to like always play here.
Yeah. And so when you were, before you chose Mason, were you being recruited by anybody else in the area?
I was recruited by Maryland at one point, Towson, schools like that. But George Mason was probably the heaviest in this area.
Okay, cool. And did you talk to Georgetown at all?
No, Georgetown's never in contact with me.
Okay, cool. Because I think it's pretty awesome that you go, you know, in Kenner League. I've seen your first two games. You kind of put on a show. They're tweeting about you. So how's it feel, you know, to not get recruited by a school, but then to go there and catch an alley-oop dunk with no time remaining on the clock?
Well, I never really thought about it like that. I saw it as another gym to play in, show my talents, you know, being a redshirt, being away from sitting out for a year. I was just excited to be back on the floor. That's as much as I saw it.
And we'll get back to Kenner in a couple minutes here, but do tell me about being a redshirt, you know, because we kind of watched Daniel redshirt, but he told us in an interview that he couldn't really play too much. He was battling injury. What's a redshirt? What's it like to redshirt and actually be able to play that whole time?
For me, redshirting, it was more so for development purposes, getting my body bigger, actually learning the offense, learning the set defense, just getting myself better together as a player. So being able to, like, watch and practice and go travel on games and everything, it just raised my IQ and raised my maturity as a basketball player.
And you worked out the whole year, I assume. You do the same workouts, you do everything else with the team except for playing games, or...?
Pretty much, yeah. I would work out on my own with Coach Simp or Bryson. We work out before games, after games, off days, work out on off days, lift, everything. Do my own, like, separate workouts that pertain specifically to my games, and then do workouts that pertain to the offense.
And what is your game? Like, so what would you be working on? What exactly should Mason Nation expect from you?
Definitely energy, pick and pop, and getting to the rim off of one or two dribbles, pick and roll, finishing above the rim, things of that nature.
Yeah, I saw one of your tweets said that you looked into the rim. So you can actually get to eye level of the rim at this point?
Yes.
Okay, and so tell us, for us guys like me who are – I'm never going to dunk in my whole life. What's the feeling like? For me, I just imagine, like, it hurting my hand, like a landing being tough. What's it like to be able to get up there and actually throw it down like that?
Well, I've always been able to jump. My first dunk was in, like, seventh grade. So ever since then, I've just been able to jump. I haven't really thought about it, but the best feeling I'll be able to explain it as is just a rush. Like, you're above everybody else, and you know nobody can get up there with you. So it's like a really good feeling.
Right. And we haven't really – I don't know if you're familiar with Mike Morrison. Played for us when we beat Villanova. It was probably – 4 years, 5 years ago now. But he was probably the last player that had explosive dunks. And you could tell the way that it would erupt Eagle Bank Arena, formerly known as the Patriot Center. And we need that back. I mean, I feel like we've been missing that for some time. So you're reassuring me that that's something that you can bring to the table?
Most definitely.
Okay. And so let's get back to Kenner League a little bit. I've been watching Kenner League now for 8 years myself. Did you go as a kid and watch, or?
Ever since I was a kid, you know, me and my dad used to, like, wake up on weekends and go to watch Kenner Leagues, whether I had family friends playing it or, like, somebody my dad do playing it. But I always grew up watching, playing in it, and being able to play in it now is just, like, a dream come true.
Who's the most famous person you saw at Kenner League growing up? Because, I mean, I've seen Otto Porter there, Monroe.
I think I probably – it was so far back – person I can remember the most is Jeff Green. I saw Jeff Green playing it once or twice.
It was pretty crazy, too, because he would be like the center, but he plays a guard. He's bigger than everyone else on the court, but he's a guard. It just kind of shows the difference between NBA and even just D1 basketball. So what else, you know, you said you pick and pop. A lot of the chatter about you is, you know, are you a 4 or are you a 5? What can you bring to the table? I see you working on shooting. I saw that you went 3 for 5 at Kenner. Can you hit the open jumper? You know, how's your game work as far as playing outside of the block?
Well, this redshirt year has definitely given me a chance to work on my outside game, not just finishing around the rim. So I can finish from anywhere on the floor, whether it be shooting from college range, NBA range, shooting the 15-foot jumper, elbow jumpers. I feel like I can shoot from anywhere on the floor.
So you're pretty confident from behind the arc?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And then, you know, what do you – do you see yourself playing the 4 position? Do you think you could be a small forward, or are you pretty much focusing on that power forward position?
At this point, I just want to, wherever my coach says he needs me to play, that's where I'm going to play at.
Awesome answer. And then, you know, what are your expectations for this season? You know, last year we won 20-plus games, saw a little bit of success. You know, what is the coach preaching? What do you kind of see? Where do you see yourself going as a team?
Well, as a team, this year compared to last year, we definitely upped the expectations and everything. So last year we saw a lot of success as a team. We just want to build on that and keep going. Last year we won 20-plus games. We want to win even more. We're not satisfied. We're pushing ourselves now in summer school so that when the fall comes, we already hold ourselves to a high standard. Whatever the hard work we put in is definitely going to show and pay off.
And are you taking a summer class right now?
Yes, I'm taking communications.
Is it pretty? Your boy Kyer said he was taking dance instead of communications. Yeah. Did you have a choice too, or why did you choose communications?
I chose communications mostly to work on my communication skills and everything. I definitely wanted to push myself because anybody can just like get an A in like any class. But right. I just wanted to saw an opportunity in it to work on my speaking and talking skills.
Yeah.
So I took that class.
Is it an online class or you gotta go to class?
I have to go to the class.
Okay. And then last year you took as a redshirt, do you take a full load or you took 12 credits? How does that work as a redshirt?
I took 4 classes per semester. Mm-hmm. Pretty much the same as everybody else on the team. It wasn't hard. It was definitely, because I didn't get to go to summer school the previous summer because I was playing AAU. But it was definitely an eye-opening experience, like being in the college classroom and everything. But I got adjusted pretty quick, and I finished strong.
And do you still get the benefits of, tutors and things like that during your redshirt year, or are you more on your own?
No, being a redshirt is just a title. You're still part of the team, still 100%, like, with the team and everything. Definitely have study hall every day, okay. So I have tutors access all mm-hmm. the time.
Cool. And then so to get away from basketball a little bit, you know, I want to talk about what music you're listening to, who's your favorite basketball player, favorite basketball team, those type of things. So start it off with your favorite track and your favorite artist right now.
Well, I don't really listen to today's rappers. People that look at me weird when I say that. I like listening to like a lot of like rappers and singers from the 90s. My favorite artist is Tupac.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch the movie?
Nah, not yet. Okay. I haven't gotten out to see it yet.
I heard it wasn't too good.
No.
What's your favorite song then by Tupac?
Definitely be Keep Your Head Up.
Yeah.
I definitely listen to that song whenever I'm going through tough times and everything. I just feel like the song speaks to me a little bit.
Okay, cool. And then so on campus, you know, where are you hanging out? What are you eating? Do you like campus?
I love campus. As far as eating, I eat anywhere on campus. Mostly just trying to keep my weight up and everything. I'm at like 207, trying to get to like 210 right now. But I just eat everywhere and anywhere on campus. I don't really have like a specific spot.
Because when I went here, I mean, the options that you guys have now is just crazy different. I mean, we had like this place called Chow. I mean, the burgers were terrible. Fries were stale. It's just like the improvements that Mason has seen since my time coming here. It's pretty crazy. And so, you know, with the season coming up, are you excited, you know, are you especially excited about playing one team or one player specifically that maybe you grew up with or you know about? Is there anything that's kind of like, you know, set a fire under the squad right now?
I'm just excited to get on the floor and play. I don't really have any like bias towards anybody I want to play. Like I don't have like a set team I want to play against. I just want to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what do you think if we were looking back at last season? Because you were on the bench for every game.
Yes.
What was the most live home atmosphere, you think, from last year?
I say it would be between our homecoming game versus Fordham and the regular home game versus VCU.
Right.
The sellout one. Both of those were
And so as a player, what do you see? Like, what do you see as a difference? Because this is really the reason why By George and Giant Killers started was to bring the fan base back. We went through some tough times where people weren't showing up. No one cared. No one even knew we had a basketball team for a little while. And so I kind of want to get like a player's, because you kind of are on the bench, so you get to see what's around you. Does it help the team? And also, you know, what would you like to see Mason Nation do a little bit better?
Well, we definitely feed off of the crowd's energy. The more the crowd gets into it, the more we know that they're behind us, and the better we play and the harder we play, because it's a vice versa type thing. We got them and they got us. I feel like Mason Nation has definitely been great with what they're doing right now. The cool thing to see is like a set like type of distraction while the other team's shooting a free throw. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, because everyone else is doing that. I mean, we have those green guys, but they're not doing, you know, they could do more. And so, you know, I talked to everyone. Everyone says that, you know, we feed off the energy and things like that. So, you know, what I would ask you to do is maybe talk to people around campus, you know, tell them to come out. I think, you know, if the players could have a appearance with them, that would definitely help them show out that they can identify, I know that guy, I'm in class with AJ, that kind of stuff. So to segue off of that a little bit, let's talk movies, TV shows. When you got your off time away from basketball, are you playing video games? What are you doing?
Mostly just drawing. I don't really play video games like that. My teammates laugh at me because I just watch them play Call of Duty and stuff.
Right.
But mostly just either drawing, just reading books, or I'm probably just out on campus walking around.
What do you draw? What is that about?
I like drawing a lot of comics. I like drawing like things that I find interesting on like rather I like find like a basketball picture to draw or like an old comic book to draw. Anything that like piques my interest, I like to draw.
What kind of comics are you into?
Definitely manga, like Japanese comics and stuff. Mm-hmm. I like reading like old Superman comics too.
Yeah.
Just things like that.
Did you ever read The Watchmen?
I watched the movie. I never read it, though.
If you like graphic novels, I mean, you should definitely check out The Watchmen. It's really well done. So that's interesting that, you know, on your off time, you're drawing. I mean, that's something different. If you don't mind, post some of your stuff. I mean, we would love to reshare it. I mean, we want to get Mason Nation to, you know, to be able to identify with you. And so when people hear stuff like that, you know, that's definitely going to, they're going to perk up. They're going to hear that. So I guess we don't want you to make a prediction. Do you see yourself making an impact day one?
Everything doesn't happen in a day. I definitely feel like I can make an impact, but off of the first day, I feel like I can make my presence known, but I don't think like a program-changing impact is going to happen on the first day, but gradually I feel like I can change the program.
I do know that with your play and the way that you can play above the rim, block shots, hustle, I mean, that's stuff that the crowd really feeds off of, and we've been waiting for that forever. So I just want to thank you, AJ, for coming on. This is our first time that we've had, that we've even spoken with you. So sorry we didn't get to you last year.
No problem.
But we're going to have many more of these interviews. Thank you. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
Yep. So obviously a very likable kid. Something that I found pretty unique is the kid likes to draw.
Yeah, he's, unique. Yeah, he's into manga. He's into comics. He's into old school rap. All interesting.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and I told him to read Watchmen. He said he's seen the movie. I mean, if you've seen the movie, you might as well read the graphic novel if you like graphic novels.
Go to Amazon Prime Day. Get it for $6.
It's a little fun fact I found out today. Right. Jonesy, it's a little trivia question
for you. I like little fun facts.
Name the player that's the first in the gym.
The first one in.
What
about the last one out?
I don't know that. I can't clarify that. But I know this kid's showing up early and working his tail off.
I got it.
And not to say that no other kid is, because I'm actually hearing very positive
things
about it. But
this kid's an early riser, and he's got some work ethic. Okay, right. Well, I'm just going to go with the... I'm sure Mason Nation's going, Otis. Right. So, yeah, I'm going to say Otis.
And Otis would make sense. I'm sure he's right behind this kid, but it is Gonar...
Mar. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, okay. For a freshman showing up, apparently his work ethic is top notch. That, and he's ready to go.
Seriously, guy? I mean, that got me kind of sized.
Combine that with the talent. Another little bit is he's like almost winning the sprints. Like he's athletic.
Wow.
So, I mean, the guy's showing up early, he's working his tail off, and he may be faster than most of the team.
I'm mega sized to the point where I can't even stand up right now. I mean, I'm going to give me 5 minutes.
So I just wanted to segue into that because, you know, the combination of AJ and Mar, we could be watching for 4 years at the 3 and 4 position.
Hoisting trophies over their heads.
Yeah, you never know. Right?
Going into the NBA.
Well, speaking of trophies,
okay,
we got a couple former Mason players
vying for a trophy and or cash reward of $2 million. I don't even know if there really is a trophy, but great little segue though to the probably the least. I don't know. The name of the tournament is the basketball tournament. I don't know if maybe if they want to get to like a different marketing company to call it something, but it's called TBT.
Yeah.
Cool. Either way, it's a tournament that features essentially anybody that plays professional ball overseas, here, whatever, and in like a massive tournament featuring 64 teams or so. And these teams can be comprised of all of like one particular school's alumni. So I think like Rider, you know, Syracuse, VCU has a team called Ram Nation, has like Eric Maynard, Jamie Skeen. It doesn't necessarily have to have like all, you know, I think Bowles is on there. Denzel Bowles from JMU, if you remember him.
He's kind of a baller.
Right. He's tight. But yeah, so we actually have two former Mason alum, Mike Moe and Ryan Pearson, on two different teams. Ryan Pearson on Team Fancy. They started playing this last weekend. They won their first two games. Pearson actually is a starter. He plays substantial minutes. You could watch the games on the ESPN app, watch ESPN. And I believe the final will be on like ESPN2 or so. But Mike Moe is actually playing this weekend. He's on Team Stickman. I don't know if that's because he's a skinny guy, but they have like a lot of tall guys, what have you. But it's a great opportunity to, you know, see our alum. It's kind of hard to see them when they're playing in like Slovenia and wherever.
Watch like highlight films on their Instagrams.
Right. So I think it's a pretty cool opportunity. A lot of them, for instance, like Pearson's team, or maybe Mike Moe's team. Like they have Frank Mason III on it. Pearson's team has like a few players that were on the recent UCLA team with Ball. So, I mean, there's some like famous players out there.
Do you know where they can find, like where the fans can find the schedule? Is it just,
you can
like,
go to like just Google TBT. Okay. I mean,
so it's pretty much, it's out there.
Yeah, it's out there. Okay. And it's actually a pretty nice website. It's easy to view. They have all the teams. They actually show you the salaries.
Wait, they're getting paid? I thought they only got paid if they won.
I don't understand this. So they list salaries and they vary for player. I don't know if it's what they're getting paid for the tournament or what they're currently getting paid overseas.
Got it.
But like, for instance, like I think Mike Moe and Pearson were both making like around a 120.
Wow.
Not too shabby,
not,
right?
Not doing too not bad too for shabby. Their little families.
Right.
Both got some kids to take care of.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting to be able to follow some Mason alum in July.
It's Cram.
And speaking of which,
not to cut you off, mm-hmm. but you know, a little bit of me was thinking, man, Ram Nation, they have one. Like, what if Mason had one? What would we call it? Like Team Giant Killer?
Like, you know, would be
Team Kryptonite. Right. And then who the hell would be on that team? You still have Will Thomas playing, Gabe Norwood, Cam Long.
I think Will Thomas may be on Otis and Grayer's
Kenner team. Yeah. And now, I mean, if you saw him out on the court recently, the man shoots threes. Right. I mean, back at Mason, he shot 1-3 his entire career. But I think that would be a kind of cool squad. Eric right. Copes is still playing. I mean, granted, I don't know how much a Mason Nation would want to see him, but
so between Kenner and TBT, there's a lot of opportunity to watch alum right now. And then some current players.
Additionally, you have Jalen Jenkins playing in like a tournament.
Right.
He was like MVP of a particular day within this tournament.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell it was or who the hell was playing in it, but
right.
he's doing well.
Yeah. I mean, he'll find a job overseas. Mm-hmm. He's good enough to battle.
He's got good footwork.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so, and that's what's going on now. Sorry, you can go back to...
Speaking of Mason alum,
okay.
I know that you recently watched the Home Run Derby. Why don't you, you know,
wow.
for people like me who didn't get a chance to watch it...
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, if anybody followed Mason baseball back in the day, and, you know, I'm talking about Justin Bour's era where, you know, Scott Krieger, we actually had some really good talent coming through Mason at the time. Bohr gets eventually called up. Who was the guy that was on the Nats a few years ago? He pretty much, I'm trying to remember, he went to Miami and then he pretty much supplanted that guy's role in Miami and then just took over the starting spot at first base, which if you know anything about baseball, first base requires a ton of power. Like you have to be...
Talking about Adam Dunn?
No, I'm not talking okay. about Adam Dunn. Jesus Christ. No, but he made his way through the Miami farm system, started, and like he actually became, like a few years ago, a viable fantasy player. And so this recent year, though, he's just kind of exploded. So he hit 20 bombs before the All-Star break. They invited him to the All-Star Home Run Derby. Man hits 22 dingers in the first round, which is top five ever in the Home Run Derby for one particular round.
And he kind of looked good doing it when I
oh, that
the
stroke was
I
sweet. That was a very sweet stroke. It looked effortless. And I think if he went second after Judge, maybe he could have, you know, if he right. knew what he had
it's
to beat.
It's kind of like when you play, you know, when you're any game you play, if you go second, you're probably going to one up.
Obviously. You know what you got to beat. So, right. Boer, you know, and to be honest, though, if you're watching the rest of the Home Run Derby, there were some combos that didn't hit 22 combined. Right. You know, like they'd be hit like 10 and 11, you know, the two people. So... Boer owns it. Judge comes after him, hits 23, and gets bounced out of the first round. But Boer did a great job.
Our friend who's a Yankees fan said that the Yankees are targeting him.
Right.
I mean, that's what happens when you put yourself on the national stage. Right.
And if you watched, Giancarlo Stanton was hyping him. The other thing that kind of tilts me is like his big thing is about him being fat. Like, everyone's offering him donuts.
I saw that.
You know, and it's like a thing on Twitter. They're like, you're doing it for the fat people. And I'm kind of like, Mason's presence in Major League Baseball is about a fat guy. But he's killing it.
Nonetheless, we got a couple he's guys raking. In the MLB right now.
And the Marlins just called up another Mason alum. He came in, pitched an effective game, and won.
Right. So Mason in July, it's kind of exciting.
Yeah. Specifically for for everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're doing a good job.
Yeah. And we're bringing you interviews. Check our Twitter @ByGeorgeGMU for all posts, player week / interviews / obviously
/ anything in general. Yeah.
A place to spend my quiet nights, time to unwind. So much pressure in this life of mine. I cried times I once contemplated suicide and would have tried, but when I held that knife, all I could see was my mama's eyes. No one knows my struggle, they only see the trouble. Not knowing it's hard to carry on when no one loves you. Picture me inside the misery of poverty. No man alive has ever witnessed struggles I survived. Praying hard for better days, promise to hold on. Me and my dogs ain't have a choice but to roll on. We found a finally spot to kick it, where we could drink liquor and know what bickers over trick shit. A spot where we could smoke in peace, and even though we G's, we still visualize places that we could roll in peace. And in my mind's eye, I see this place, the players going past. I got a spot for us all, so we can ball at Thug's Mansion.
Every corner, every city, there's a place where life's a little easy, little Hennessy, lay back and cool every hour, cause it's all good. Leave all the stress from the world outside. Every wrong done will be alright.
I wanna go.
Nothing but peace.
I wanna go.
Street passion. Every ghetto needs a plug.
A place where death doesn't reside. Just thugs who collide, not to start beef or spark trees. No cops rolling by, no policemen, no homicide, no chalk in the streets. No reason for nobody's mama to cry. See, I'm a good guy, I'm trying to stick around for my daughter. But if I should die, I know all of my album supporter. This whole year's been crazy, ask the Holy Spirit to save me. Only difference from me and Ozzy Davis, gray hair maybe. Cause I feel like my eyes saw too much suffering. I'm just 20 some odd years, I done lost my mother and I cry tears of joy. I know she smiles on a boy, I dream of you more. My love goes to Afeni Shakur, cause like Ann Jones, she raised the ghetto king in a war. And just for that alone, she shouldn't feel no pain no more. Cause one day we'll all be together, sipping heavenly champagne where angels soar with golden wings and Thug's Mansion.
Every corner, every city, there's a place where life's a little easy. Little Hennessy, lay back and cool every hour, cause it's so good. Leave all the stress from the world outside. Every wrong done will be alright. Nothing but peace, love, and street passion. Every girl needs a blood.
Dear mama, don't cry, your baby boy's doing good. Tell the homies I'm in heaven and they ain't got hoods. Seen a show with Marvin Gaye last night. It had me shook, dripping peppermint schnapps with Jackie Wilson and Sam Cooke. Then some lady named Billie Holiday sang, sitting there kicking it with Malcolm till the day came. Little Natasha show grown, tell the lady in the liquor store that she's forgiven. So come home, maybe in time you understand. Only God can save us when Miles Davis cutting loose with the band. Just think all the people that you knew in the past that passed on, they in heaven found peace that lasts. Picture a place that they exist together. There has to be a place better than this in heaven. So right before I sleep, dear God, wear the mask and remember this face. Save me a place in Thug's Mansion.
Every corner, every city, there's a place where life's a little easy.
Thug's Mansion.
We back and cool every hour, cause it's all good. Leave all the stress from the world outside. Every wrong done will be alright. Nothing but peace, love,